And today we're talking about spinal pain. Pain that goes, well, anywhere from your lower back right up to your neck and head. And Dr. Gresh Kanji has been working in pain medicine for more than a decade. He's really keen on finding ways of treating pain without prescription medication. And he's in our Wellington studio. Hello there.
Good afternoon, Jesse.
Hey, nice to spend some time chatting with you. Thanks for coming in at a very busy time of year.
Thank you very much for inviting me. In fact, I'm just on holiday in Wellington from Auckland, seeing my mum and my family in Wellington.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear it. Should we start in an unusual way, maybe start with your personal experience? Because I think you had an incident that really sort of set you on a bit of this path.
Yeah, basically the research I did for spinal pain was actually for myself. And in 2012, I was at the gym. I keep very fit. I was leg pressing 200 kilograms in one of those gravity ones where I was lifting it up. The lever slipped, and all of a sudden, it crushed me.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, oh, boy. It was a sort of sinking feeling, actually. And as soon as I sort of crawled off and then lay on the ground for a while, and I just, you know, I can't even describe it. I was in a bit of shock. And then I had this back pain. I had some sort of stuff going down my legs all the way to my toes. And it was quite a, you know, it was a real shock for a start. But I had to sit there for about 10 minutes just on the ground. I just sort of snuggled next to the machine and looked like I was doing some stretching.
Yeah.
But I was in a lot of agony, actually, and it didn't really get any better. And for 2 years after that event, I had pain 24/7. I was waking at 2 a.m. every day, and I couldn't get back to sleep because of the pain. And a couple of years, you know, I sort of got a scan done, and that showed quite a spine of an 80-year-old, in fact. And there were narrow discs and nerve pressure and things going on. So I tried a lot of things, and for 2 years it was basically fruitless. I'd just finished a PhD for 5 years on how pain spreads and amplifies, and so I was still in that sort of learning mode. So I decided, well, I'm going to have a look around and see what's out there in the medical literature about back pain.
Yeah. So that was, you became an unexpected case study for yourself.
I was desperate to find an answer for myself, actually.
Yeah. And was there a lot of research literature out there for you to read?
There are literally, there's more than I could ever read in my whole lifetime. There is, the back pain literature is, you know, I don't know how many thousands of papers come out a year, but we've certainly been researching this for the best part of several decades.
How many people suffer some sort of back or neck pain?
Apparently, for back pain alone, around 80% of the population will at least have one episode.
Yeah.
And probably around 5% may have it on a daily basis.
And a lot of that would be different to your experience, not caused by one memorable incident, but just sort of, I mean, I have this a bit as well, just started this slight nagging and then got worse, and you kind of learn to live with it, and then someone mentions it and you think, oh yeah, I suppose I have had a sore back for about 10 years.
Yep, and I think this is when I talk to people, I sort of ask them, oh, look, you know, where's it sore? And do you remember the first time that you ever experienced low back pain? And that's the sort of questions you have to ask, because exactly as you experience, they often have something go on and it just grumbles. And every now and then you're in the garden on a spring day, you spend all day in the garden and you sort of come back inside and go, oh, my back hurts. And you might lie around for a while. And this is the experience of most people, is episodic. That comes and goes and comes and goes.
How hard is it to diagnose?
I think it's now much easier to diagnose than it was sort of 30, 40 years ago. We have MRI scans, which the first MRI scanner was originated about 1980, and in New Zealand, probably around 2000, it became commonplace. So I've been looking at scans for sort of 15, 20 years now. And it's and some people would say, oh, you know, one of the myths is that, oh, MRI scans are no good because you look inside the body and you see too much stuff. And then you don't really know, well, what stuff is causing the pain. So this is one of the dogmas and myths that I'd like to dispel. The fact is, as a pain doctor, I'm like a pain detective. And, you know, what I need to do is talk to patients and say, okay, well, what hurts you? You know, is it lifting, bending, walking? You know, what's putting pressure on you? And then I'll look at them, you know, examine them. And then basically after that, I'll look at the scan. And my job is to correlate a person's symptoms with what I find on examination and their scan result. And once you correlate, you know, it's really detective work. You can generally find out someone's source of pain. But the current dogma and belief out there amongst many health professionals is that, you know, oh, you can't find a person's source of pain. I don't subscribe to that at all.
Of course, everyone will have different, slightly different pain and slightly different experiences and I'm sure different causes. So what is useful for everybody to know about back and neck pain? I suppose some sort of understanding of what your spine is.
Sure. I describe it simply to patients as that your body is full of bones, your skeleton, and there are washes between the bones. And there's no two bones that basically are square off against each other without a washer. Now in the spine, these washes are discs. And in the body, in our joints, we have cartilage. And basically cartilage and disc are both water washers made of the same stuff. And what happens is when they get a bit worn out or injured and damaged, the pressure that goes on the bones sort of creates electricity and pain, and that goes to your brain. So probably that's a really nice way to think about it. And if your pain has a pattern to it, now let's take knee pain because that's the simplest. You know, I've got a bit of arthritis in my knee as well. If I run, it gives me pain. If I don't run, I get no pain at all. So we can sort of clearly see pressure creating electricity in my knee and going into my brain, and I go, ouch.
Okay, so what is typically going wrong for people? I mean, for people listening, what's something that everyone can understand about this?
So clearly pressure is instrumental in activating pain in the spine. It's one of the things that I basically spend a lot of time consulting people and advise them on how they should sit, how they should stand, how they should bend. So if we're looking at the spine, for the neck, basically when you look straight ahead, your head weighs around 5 kilos on the bottom of your neck. Now when you look down 90 degrees, it basically weighs 50 kilos. And what you're doing is you're crushing the washes in your neck, which exacerbates neck pain from the disc. And in fact, today we're seeing more neck pain than low back pain in the clinic because of our devices.
In fact, my physio's on at me about this. It's not just devices, but there are so many aspects of modern life where you're leaning forward, right? I mean, I'm using a computer at the moment.
Yep.
It's below my eye level, and so I'm looking down slightly. Although I've lobbied with the other announcers here at RNZ to all chip in for some sort of platform so it can be at eye height for all of us. We're all different sizes, though. When I bike home, I'll be hunched over, you know, when I'm reading a book to the kids or what. It's all hunching over.
Cooking. Lots of things. And I think this is where, when you can, you want to ensure that everything's eye level, like your phone. You know, when I use my laptop, I basically put it on a box or something and get a keyboard mouse when I can. And I actually don't use my laptop usually if I'm on an aeroplane or sitting around some airport because I know the posture's not good. And I have actually got a spinal problem in my neck as well. I've got a disc that's about 80% compressed and it sticks into my spinal cord. And that gave me a lot of trouble for many years. But in the last 6 years, I've pretty much had zero pain in my spine.
You fixed yourself.
Yeah, I have fixed myself. In fact, I don't wake up with spinal pain. And I basically, even as I sit here, I have zero pain.
How did you do it?
Well, the first thing I did was the problem really came down to pressure creating pain. And in fact, all human beings pretty much, probably over the age of 40, have at least one washer in their body, which may not be pristine. And what happens quite often is that, you know, you might have a few washers in your back and they're a bit dehydrated, they might be a little bit narrowed, but as long as you don't load them, you get no pain.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, you decide to go and do a deadlift or a squat at the gym, and all of a sudden, bang, the pressure will give you pain. So the opposite of that is to avoid the pressure. So what I do for my low back is I basically recline. Whenever I'm at home, watching TV, reading, relaxing, I'll actually recline. Because when I'm reclined, there's less pressure going through my spine. And sitting is probably one of the main things we do. And so I want to just go into this a little.
Yeah.
If you sit upright, 50 kilos for me will go through my spine. If I sit forward and lean forward like a lot of people do at the computer, that's 275 kilograms going through your lower spine. And if you sit to the back of the chair, basically a lot of that weight is going through the back of the chair with only some of it going down through your spine. So for both neck and back pain, it's imperative that people sit to the back of the chair, pushing their weight into the back of the chair.
How do you recline when you're at home watching TV?
I basically just lie down on a sort of L-shaped sofa. I used to have recliner chairs were in our old place when I lived here. So, yeah, and the TV's on the wall as well. So if you're going to recline and the TV's on the floor, you're going to look down at it. So you're going to give your neck a little bit of pressure. The next thing is I looked at the research on treatments, and disc pain is the most common source of low back pain. In fact, up to 70% of people will experience disc pain as their source of pain. And what I found was, as I was going through like chiropractic and osteopathy and all sorts of things for back pain, I came across a few studies which looked at traction, basically separating the discs apart. And once I started reading these studies, I thought, oh, this is very, very interesting. They all came up with 60 to 70% reductions in pain. And when we talk about pain, if you get a 30% reduction, that's like the holy grail almost. And when I was seeing 60, 70% reductions in pain, I thought, wow, why haven't I seen this before? And in fact, I came across 9 trials that showed a 60% reduction in pain. And one trial showed a 75% odd reduction in operations for low back pain, for disc pain.
So can you explain that to me? So you were seeing 60% reductions in pain for what?
For traction. So one of the ways which we can do traction is to basically get on one of those upside down machines.
Right.
And so I bought a machine. And it's at home and I used it every day. Sometimes a couple of times a day at 45 degrees. You don't have to be upside down. And basically, I used it for 5 minutes a few times a day. And over about 2 or 3 months, my back pain improved significantly. In fact, I was really surprised. And to this day, that's my number one recommendation for people with disc pain. In fact, for most people with low back pain, is to do some form of traction. Now, you don't have to do the upside down machine. You can basically hang off a door frame. So you get to the door, put your hands over the door, and you bend your knees, and you basically, you know, hang from the door almost, uh-huh, keeping your feet on the ground. And as you can imagine, that also provides traction for your disc.
Can you explain that word, traction?
Traction is separating the disc. So Imagine the two bones pressing together. That's how you get pain pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And if you separate them and pull them apart, you actually suck the disc in back into its normal shape.
Can you describe your traction machine?
It's an inversion traction machine. So if you Google inversion traction machine, you can see it online. You basically step onto it, lock your feet in, and then you tilt yourself backwards. and basically lay there slightly upside down at 45 degrees. That's it.
And you're giving a break to your spine.
Yep, you're basically unloading your spine. So one of the key elements is loading your spine will increase pain and compress structures. And unloading your spine is definitely the way to reduce your spinal pain if it's from your disc.
You are keen on heat as well. Can you tell us about that?
So when we're talking about pain, we're not only talking about your disc and your back, we're also dealing with your brain. And what happens is stress chemicals, this is actually the topic of my PhD, stress chemicals attach to the brain, all parts of your brain, and increase electricity. And when they increase the electricity in the part of your brain that controls pain, you can increase your pain. So heat reduces stress chemicals. And that's how heat can be another factor that reduces your pain experience. So it's, and you can exercise, that also reduces the stress chemicals in your brain. So does yoga, tai chi, meditation. Hence, you know, it's good to be a sort of almost a holistic pain practitioner where you're treating the brain as well as the body. And the combination of the two is extremely useful.
Generally different things happening in the neck and the back. I mean, you've talked about them being different, but do people tend to have one or the other or a combination of both?
I think, look, most people, you know, many people have both. Some people have one or the other. But a lot of these things are due to, you know, car accidents, falls. Sometimes you might injure your neck or your back. So as you can imagine, it's like I've got both, and I had a big car accident when I was five years old when we got hit by another car when we crossed lanes, and I fractured a hip, and I suspect this started my spinal problems, but they didn't surface till many years later when my discs had narrowed sufficiently to start generating the pain.
A couple of people asking about things that they've come across. Do you recommend cannabis for back pain?
I do a lot of work with medicinal cannabis, and in fact currently I'm just writing a e-learning module for the Goodfellow Unit at Auckland University and going through all the literature. Basically, cannabis is one of those things that may help certain types of low back pain. And in fact, there is no research, unfortunately, no randomized controlled trials of low back pain using cannabis. So we don't actually know, you know, but we have some ideas. We know that cannabis can help nerve pain, and a part of back pain is also nerve pain when we get nerve compression. However, all told, medicinal cannabis is sort of $300 to $400 to up to $1,000 a month, whereas our current regime of medicines is, you know, $5 to $15 a month. So I see it really being as a last resort, another tool in the toolbox. So if someone with chronic pain that's not responding to anything else and you can't quite find the source of it as well, then it probably is going to be an option. And let's face it, lots of people are using it for chronic pain and have a lot more experience than me. But I do prescribe it over the past year as it's been available. We've certainly had some patients on it for various conditions of chronic pain where they have not responded to our regular medications.
I'm speaking with Dr. Gresh Kanji on spine, neck and back pain. Somebody reckons they may have got a bit of pain from neck pain from breastfeeding. Does that sound right to you?
It sounds very much right. Okay. I think basically a lot of, I've met a lot of mothers and you know, they tell me, oh yeah, I started getting headaches, you know, about 20 years ago. And I sort of ask them, well, how old are your kids? Oh, about 20, 21. And so, yeah, you're actually looking down breastfeeding. And you're looking down a lot at the children. You're often cooking, doing chores. And I think that certainly can contribute, just the posture. And I often recommend mothers with neck pain to sort of recline or sit back a bit more and do it like that rather than sitting up straight looking down at their baby, because that will certainly be a recipe for increasing neck pain.
I have one text complaint about your recommendations, Gireesh. I'm going to pass it on because I'm sure you can handle it. They say that what you're recommending are all passive ways of managing pain. And this person says, I'm not sure of their qualifications, that they're not well regarded. Heat and traction and leaning back in a chair are all passive. They say it's sad to have these views promoted that stop patients getting back into their lives. I presume active management might include medication. I don't know. Do you know what they're getting at?
I'm not 100% sure, but you know, when I talk about heat, traction, and I'm just talking about what we're actually discussing. Obviously, I use medications. We have the odd person go to surgery. You know, we have some people go to physiotherapy. So there's lots of tools in the toolbox, you know. And I think, I think the person's emailing, but we're only giving a slice of it here. Of easy things that patients can do by themselves. And this is the way I see things, that, you know, if you can go and get yourself a traction machine, try it at home for 6 weeks, they're under $200 on Trade Me, you know, cheaper than, you know, going to just about anybody for back pain. And if in 6 weeks you find it's not better, then obviously you can go to see someone, you know. So I'm not averse to seeing health professionals if there was a health professional complaining, but...
Somebody asks if statins have any effect on back pains.
I believe statins can give muscle pain generally. Mm-hmm. So they can create a little more muscle pain. And I suspect if someone's got back pain, they may have an influence. It's not something I've seen a lot personally in my practice.
Victoria asks, do the methods you recommend also apply to pain from osteoarthritis?
Some of the factors do. And basically, osteoarthritis pain is also a pain that is subject to pressure, where pressure increases pain. And so when I see someone with knee arthritis and they're walking and running for exercise, my first thing would be to say, hey, look, you can continue to do that. That will increase your pain. But actually what it'll also do is probably wear out your cartilage over decades. And so my approach really for pain is, what's going to be good for you for the rest of your life? And, you know, I was 45 when I damaged my spine or injured myself, say. And, you know, I might live 40 more years. So my interest was in sort of anything that will prolong my structures in my spine and maintain me being pain-free. And I've got knee arthritis, and I used to run a lot, you know, 10Ks, 3 or 4 days a week. It was swollen and painful. There was a bit of arthritis, so I stopped running. I haven't had knee pain for 5 or 6 years. And I suspect my knee hasn't got any worse over that time, so that I don't have to have a knee replacement in another 5 or 10 years.
I'm speaking with Dr. Gireesh Kanji. By the way, Louise swears by her water pillow. She says she's had no neck pain and hardly any back pain since she got one.
Well, I think with respect to neck pain and pillows, I've had a lot of experience with this. I used to have over 10 pillows. And some of them cost $250, $300 as well. They're actually quite expensive because I used to get tingling in my fingers every day for 10 years, pretty much every night. And when you go to sleep, if you sleep on your side, you generally want to make sure your neck is relatively straight, because if you bend it one side or the other, you in fact can clip the nerves at the side of your neck, which go down to your fingers. And so it's about trying different pillows to try and keep your neck relatively straight. A lot of people, if they sleep on their back, will sleep without a pillow even, because on your back, you tend to get the side bending. So Louise has found a pillow that works for her, and she'll be very relieved. And I found a pillow that worked for me as well, so I don't get tingling in my fingers at all at night.
A couple of people asking about yoga. Do you recommend it?
Look, yoga's very good. It actually reduces the activity of the stress nervous system. There is, however, some individual sort of advice to be given. I had back pain. I did a lot of yoga. I used to do it 3 or 4 days a week. And one day I went to a class that was all sitting. So I sat for the whole hour. It increased my back pain. So sometimes you need to modify it so that if certain activities and postures aggravate your pain, you're better off probably avoiding it. So sitting yoga is not so good for low back pain from discs, whereas standing yoga is fine. So I think there's some caveats for most activities.
Time to talk about migraines for a little bit. Are these related to neck and spine pain?
Migraine is definitely related, but in a different sort of way. So what happens with migraine is people with migraine, so let's just say pain is electricity, is what's transmitted by electricity, goes from the body into the brain, and the brain can add electricity. It's a good way to think about it. People with migraine have electrical channels in the part of their brain that subserve sensations that open up much quicker and produce more electricity. So they have more intense sensations, light, sound, pain, touch, and smell. So a person with migraine is predisposed to feeling more pain from any given input in the body. And the research shows that there are 3 times more risk of any pain in the body from musculoskeletal sources than people without migraine. So it's like a pain amplifying condition. And they have even 6.6 times more fibromyalgia, which is a chronic pain condition. So it's really, what we'll find is that people with migraine tend to suffer higher levels of pain and pain more commonly.
By the way, Maggie Costello's got in touch. She's in Nelson and she swears by hanging off the door frame. She does it every morning. Thanks, Maggie. Send us a photo.
In fact, there's a study showing. So there's studies showing traction done in several ways. One where you're hanging off a bar, one where you're lying on a bed flat and they stretch you apart, several where you hang on the inversion traction machines, and you know they all show significant reductions in pain. And but the thing there, you have to basically do it for 3 or 4 days a week for over 4 to 6 weeks. Those are the studies that show good results for back pain that's discogenic in origin.
I should plug your book as well. Dr. Gresh Kanji is author of Fix Your Back and Fix Your Neck Pain, Headache and Migraine. So say someone's just tuned in or say someone is listening and has found all of this information quite overwhelming. What's the best thing to start with if you have some back or neck pain and you want to try and make a difference to it? Can you give us a list of things to try?
Look, if you've got back pain, then you want to look at your posture to unload the spine. Now, in Fix Your Back and Fix Your Neck Pain, Headache, Migraine, they're full-colour gloss books, and they basically have all the pictures in them of postures that increase pain and reduce pain. And they're actually available on my website, girishkanji.com, and some bookshops as well. So that's probably the first thing is posture. Now, the next thing really is to try some traction. And then I think the general advice for everybody is to ensure that they do some sort of activity that reduces the activity of their stress brain, such as exercise, yoga, tai chi, meditation, breathing, or heat. You know, they can go to the sauna or spa or take hot baths. That sort of recommendation is mandatory for most human beings, I believe.
You said reduce the activity of your stress brain?
Yeah, because that improves your pain threshold.
Can you just unpack that a bit for us?
Yeah. So basically, stress chemicals in your brain will actually increase your pain directly. Uh-huh. And so that's the sort of tension neck, tension headache. So as you sit there all day and you're sort of really busy at work or working on a deadline, a lot of people notice that, you know, their necks start getting tight. And in fact, I experienced this at the end of a working day for many years. You know, I used to get quite tight and it's almost like a headache in your neck. And so stress chemicals, as they're released, can actually increase that feeling of pain. And all those activities like heat, exercise, yoga, tai chi, meditation, actually what they do is reduce the activity of your stress chemicals in your brain. So they help pain, as well as other symptoms like insomnia, anxiety and depression as well.
How do you make a serious difference to your posture? Posture is one of those things like chewing your food that when you think of it, you do it, and then, you know, 5 minutes later, it's all gone again, right?
I think in terms of one of my interests is behavioural change in people to see, you know, and I think the first thing that people need to understand is why. You know, why should I sit back as opposed to lean forward in my chair? Or, you know, why should I exercise? You know, why should I you know, do anything. So the why is really important. And I think when I see patients, I can usually explain to them, hey, look, you know, you've got this disc here. They can see it on their scan and they go, oh, yeah. That look, so they can actually see the source of their pain. And then you can say, hey, look, let's try this as a trial of treatment. Let's, you know, get you sitting back, maybe reclining to reduce your pain, stretching it out with a bit of traction. And then I'll see them again. And often, you know, they'll go, oh, yeah, look, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And they start some of it. And then when you see them again, you can remind them again, hey, how are you going? And you want to encourage people, really, I think, is the thing. You really need to encourage them that, you know, whatever they're doing is excellent. And then you might just tweak it a bit further. Once people start getting improvement, they get very, very keen. You know, they know the why.
Like weight loss, right?
A little bit like weight loss. If you can see a change quickly, it's just more likely to sort of stick in your brain and give you incentive, I think, motivation. And the other thing is, so you've got the why, and then you've got the how. And, you know, we see a lot of people, they're very busy, work, family, commuting. And so you've really got to break down the barriers, you know. Like when I give exercise prescription for pain or insomnia, anxiety, depression, I'll let, you know, I'll ask people, well, you know, where do you live? And do you live close to a swimming pool? Or, you know, do you have three? You know, a lot of people work 10 hours, go home, cook, clean, have two or three kids to put to bed. And, you know, they're just not going to have time to go to the gym or the sauna. And so for them, sometimes I say, hey, look, get an exercise, stick it in front of the television or listen to the radio perhaps and do it for 10, 20 minutes, you know, once you wake up. And so the how is quite important. How do you break down the barriers for someone to add a regular habit?
Richard has emailed me and reckons he got rid of backache by lying on a tennis ball. He doesn't know why, but it worked.
Yeah, I think there's cases like Richard, and, you know, what we could possibly say is when you lie on the tennis ball, you're basically pressing on muscles, right? And so his pain might have been from the muscle, perhaps. You know, and so basically he might be getting what we have muscle knots called trigger points. And so he may have had a trigger point in his back somewhere, and basically he might have sort of weeded it out with that tennis ball. So that's quite possible.
Can you finish by giving us one last instruction on how we hang from the door frame?
Basically, you put your hands over the door, put your feet towards the bottom of the door, so it's touching the door, and then as you've got your hands above the door, you just basically bend your knees. Keep your feet on the ground, but bend your knees.
So you're hanging off the door or the door frame?
No, the door itself. Okay. Open the door. Doors are quite solid usually. So, I mean, I've been giving this to people for about a year, and it's a nice, simple option. You can do it on holiday. You can do it wherever you are, and it's certainly worked for a lot of patients I've seen in the last 6 months.
Sorry, I might have interrupted you. So you're holding on to the top of the door and just kind of
hang
letting
like
the door take your weight. You're not taking your feet off the ground, but you are just not making your body hold your weight up.
That's right. You basically just bend your knees and suddenly your spine will stretch apart. And you don't need to take your feet off the ground at all.
5 minutes, a couple of times a day?
I think 2 or 3 minutes is okay. And I often say to people, wear garden gloves. You know, there are a few dollars at Bunnings, or perhaps put a towel on the door, because that's probably one of the problems. You got to remember, you got to have good shoulders to do that one. So it's good for people who have good shoulders. And this is, you know, you've got to sort of, sometimes you've got to tailor treatment to a specific person often.
Great. And we're coming towards the end of the year, so if someone would like to try that over the summer holidays and message me in the new year when I'm back on 20th of January, tell me if it worked or not. We'll do a little survey of our audience. For now, Dr. Goresh Kanji has been our guest. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, Jesse. Thanks for inviting me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
His books are called Fix Your Back and Fix Your Neck Pain, Headache and Migraine.